Is that so terrible?
And it kills you.
Stop it, she cried. What are you trying to do, scare me away?
No, he snorted. It wouldn't work, anyway.
If you don't want to be with me, she said, hoping that it was all an elaborate joke, a breakup speech to end all breakup speeches and not the truth. It could not be the truth. There's probably a more believable story to tell.
I know you can't believe me. This is why I couldn't tell you until now, when I have to tell you. Because I thought I understood the rules and... we kissed, and now I don't understand anything.
His words from the night before came back to her. I don't know how to stop it. I don't know what to do. Because you kissed me. He nodded. You kissed me, and when we were done, you were surprised. He nodded again, having the grace to look a little sheepish. You kissed me, Luce continued, searching for a way to put it all together. And you thought I wasn't going to survive it?
Based on previous experience, he said hoarsely. Yes.
That's just crazy, she said.
It's not about the kiss this time. It's about what it means. In some lives we can kiss, but in most we can't.
He stroked her cheek, and she wrestled with how good it felt.
I must say, I prefer the lives where we can kiss.
He looked down.
Though it does make losing you that much harder.
She wanted to be mad at him for making up such a bizarre story when they should have been locked in an embrace. But something was there, like an itch at the back of her mind, telling her not to run from Daniel now, but to stick around and listen as long as she could. When you lose me, she said, feeling out the shape of the word in her mouth, how does it happen? Why?
It depends on you, on how much you can see about our past, on how well you've come to know me, who I am.
He tossed his hands up in a shrug.
I know this sounds incredibly...
crazy? He smiled.
I was going to say vague, but I'm trying not to hide anything from you. It's just a very, very delicate subject. Sometimes, in the past, just talking like this has...
She watched for the shape of the words on his lips, but he wouldn't say anything. Killed me?
I was going to say, broken my heart.
He was in obvious pain, and Luce wanted to comfort him. She could feel herself drawn, something in her breast tugging her forward. But she couldn't. That was when she felt certain that Daniel knew about the glowing violet light, that he had everything to do with it. What are you? She asked. Some kind of...
I wander the earth, always knowing at the back of my mind that you're coming. I used to look for you. But then, when I started hiding from you, from the heartbreak I knew was inevitable, you started seeking me out. It didn't take long to realize that you came around every 17 years.
Luce's 17th birthday had been in late August, 2 weeks before she enrolled at Sword and Cross. It had been a sad celebration, just Luce, her parents, and a store-bought cake. There were no candles, just in case. And what about her family? Did they come back every 17 years, too?
It's not long enough for me to ever have gotten over the last time, he said. Just long enough that I would let my guard down again.
So you knew I was coming? She asked dubiously. He looked serious, but she still couldn't believe him. She didn't want to. Daniel shook his head.
Not the day you showed up. It's not like that. Don't you remember my reaction when I saw you?
He looked up, like he was thinking back on it himself.
For the first few seconds every time, I'm always so elated, I forget myself. Then I remember.
Yes, she said slowly. You smiled, and then... Is that why you flipped me off? He frowned. But if this happens every 17 years, like you say, she said, you still knew I was coming. In some sense, you knew.
It's complicated, Luce.
I saw you that day before you saw me. You were laughing with Roland outside Augustine. You were laughing so hard, I was jealous. If you know all this, Daniel, if you're so smart that you can predict when I'm going to come and when I'm going to die and how hard all of that is going to be for you, how could you laugh like that? I don't believe you, she said, feeling her voice tremble. I don't believe any of this. Daniel gently pressed his thumb to her eye to wipe away a tear.
It's such a beautiful question, Luce. I adore you for asking it, and I wish I could explain it better. All I can tell you is this. The only way to survive eternity is to be able to appreciate each moment. That's all I was doing.
Eternity, Luce repeated. Yet another thing I wouldn't understand.
It doesn't matter. I can't laugh like that anymore. As soon as you show up, I'm overtaken.
You're not making any sense, she said, wanting to leave before it got too dark. But Daniel's story was so much more than nonsensical. The whole time she'd been at Sword and Cross, she'd half believed she was crazy. Her madness paled in comparison to Daniel's.
There's no manual for how to explain this thing to the girl you love, he pleaded, brushing her hair with his fingers. I'm doing the best I can. I want you to believe me, Luce. What do I need to do?
Tell a different story, she said bitterly. Make up a saner excuse.
You said yourself you felt as if you knew me. I tried to deny it as long as I could because I knew this would happen.
I felt I knew you from somewhere, sure, she said. Now her voice was clotted with fear. Like the mall or a summer camp or something, not some former life. She shook her head. No, I can't. She covered her ears. Daniel uncovered them.
And yet you know in your heart it's true.
He clasped her knees and looked her deeply in the eye.
You knew it when I followed you to the top of Corcovado in Rio, when you wanted to see the statue up close. You knew it when I carried you 2 sweaty miles to the River Jordan after you got sick outside Jerusalem. I told you not to eat all those dates. You knew it when you were my nurse in that Italian hospital during the First World War, and before that when I hid in your cellar during the Tsar's purge of St. Petersburg. When I scaled the turret of your castle in Scotland during the Reformation and danced you around and around at the King's coronation ball at Versailles. You were the only woman dressed in black. There was that artist colony in Quintana Roo and the protest march in Cape Town, where we both spent the night in the pen. The opening of the Globe Theatre in London. We had the best seats in the house. And when my ship wrecked in Tahiti, you were there, as you were when I was a convict in Melbourne and a pickpocket in 18th-century Nîmes and a monk in Tibet. You turn up everywhere. Always, and sooner or later you sense all the things I've just told you, but you won't let yourself accept what you feel might be the truth.
Daniel stopped to catch his breath and looked past her, unseeing. Then he reached over, pressing his hand to her knee and sending that fire through her again. She closed her eyes, and when she'd opened them, Daniel was holding the most perfect white peony. It practically glowed. She turned to see where he had plucked it from, how she hadn't noticed it before. There were only weeds and the rotting flesh of fallen fruit. They held the flower together.
You knew it when you picked white peonies every day for a month that summer in Helston. Remember that?
He stared at her like he was trying to see inside her.
No, he sighed after a moment. Of course you don't. I envy you for that.
But even as he said it, Luce's skin began to feel warm, as if it were responding to the words her brain didn't know what to make of. Part of her wasn't sure of anything anymore.
I do all of these things, Daniel said, leaning into her so that their foreheads touched. Because you're my love, Lucinda. For me, you're all there is.
Luce's lower lip was trembling. Her hands went slack in his. The flower's petals sifted through their fingers to the ground. "Then why do you look so sad?" It was all too much to even begin to think about. She leaned away from Daniel and stood up, wiping the leaves and grass from her jeans. Her head was spinning. She had lived before? Luce. She waved him off. "I think I need to go somewhere by myself to lie down." She leaned her weight on the peach tree. She felt weak.
"You're not okay," he said, standing up and taking her hand.
"No."
"I'm so sorry," Daniel sighed. "I don't know what I expected to happen telling you. I shouldn't have..."
She would never have thought a moment could come when she'd need a break from Daniel, but she had to get away. The way he was looking at her, she could tell he wanted her to say she would find him later, that they would talk about things more, but she was no longer sure that was a good idea. The more he said, the more she felt something waking up inside her, something she wasn't sure she was ready for. She didn't feel crazy anymore, and she wasn't sure Daniel was, either. To anyone else, his explanation would have made less and less sense as it went along. To Luce, she wasn't sure yet, but what if Daniel's words were answers that could make sense out of her whole life? She didn't know. She felt more afraid than she ever had before. She shook his hand loose and started toward her dorm. A few strides away, she stopped and slowly turned. Daniel hadn't moved.
"What is it?"
he asked, lifting his chin. She stood where she was, at a distance from him. "I promised you I'd stick around long enough to hear the good news." Daniel's face relaxed into an almost smile, but there was something vexed about his expression.
"The good news is..."
He paused, carefully choosing his words.
"I kissed you, and you're still here." "I kissed you, and you're still here."
17. An Open Book. Luce collapsed on her bed, giving the weary springs a jolt. After she'd fled the cemetery and Daniel, she'd practically sprinted up to her room. She hadn't even bothered to turn on a light, so she tripped over her desk chair and stubbed her toe hard. She'd curled into a ball and gripped her throbbing foot. At least the pain was something real that she could cope with, something sane and of this world. She was so glad to finally be alone. There was a knock on her door. She could not catch a break. Luce ignored the knock. She didn't want to see anyone, and whoever it was would get the hint. Another knock. Heavy breathing and a phlegmy, allergy-ridden throat-clearing sound. Pen. She couldn't see Pen right now. She'd either sound crazy if she tried to explain all that had happened to her in the last 24 hours, or she'd go crazy trying to put on a normal face and keep it to herself. Finally, Luce heard Penn's footsteps treading away down the hallway. She breathed a sigh of relief, which turned into a long, lonely whimper. She wanted to blame Daniel for unleashing this out-of-control feeling inside her, and for a second she tried to imagine her life without him. Except that was impossible. Like trying to remember your first impression of a house after you've lived in it for years. That was how much he had gotten to her. And now she had to figure out a way to wade through all the strange things he'd told her tonight. But at the edge of her mind, she kept spiraling back to what he'd said about the times they'd spent together in the past. Maybe Luce couldn't exactly remember the moments he'd described or the places he mentioned, but in a strange way, his words weren't shocking at all. It was all somehow familiar. For example, she had always inexplicably hated dates. Even the sight of them made her feel queasy. She'd started claiming she was allergic, so her mom would stop trying to sneak them into things she baked. And she'd been begging her parents to take her to Brazil practically her whole life, though she never could explain exactly why she wanted to go. The white peonies. Daniel had given her a bouquet after the fire in the library. There had always been something so unusual about them, yet so familiar. The sky outside her window was a deep charcoal, with just a few puffs of white cloud. Her room was dark, but the pale full blooms of the flowers on her windowsill stood out in the dimness. They'd sat in their vase for a week now, and not a single petal had withered. Luce sat up and inhaled their sweetness. She couldn't blame him. Yes, he sounded crazy, but he was also right. She was the one who had come to him again and again, suggesting that they had some sort of history. And it wasn't only that. She was also the one who saw the shadows, the one who kept finding herself involved in the deaths of innocent people. She'd been trying not to think about Trevor and Todd when Daniel started talking about her own deaths, how he had watched her die so many times. If there had been any way to fathom such a thing, Luce would have wanted to ask whether Daniel ever felt responsible. For the loss of her, whether his reality was anything like the secret, ugly, overriding guilt she faced every day. She sank onto the desk chair, which had somehow made its way to the middle of the room. Ouch. When she reached underneath her, hand groping for whatever hard object she'd just plopped down on, she found a thick book. Luce moved to the wall and flicked on her light switch, then squinted in the ugly fluorescent light. The book in her hands was one she'd never seen before. It was bound in the palest gray cloth, with frayed corners and brown glue crumbling at the bottom of the spine. The Watchers, Myth in Medieval Europe. Daniel's Ancestors' Book. It was heavy and smelled faintly of smoke. She tugged out the note that was tucked inside the front cover. "Yes, I found a spare key and entered your room unlawfully. I'm sorry, but this is urgent, and I couldn't find you anywhere. Where are you? You need to look at this, and then we need to have a powwow. I'll swing by in an hour. Proceed with caution. XOXO, Pen." Luce laid the note next to the flowers and took the book back to her bed. She sat down with her legs dangling over the edge. Just holding the book gave her a strange, warm, buzzing sensation just below her skin. The book felt almost alive in her hands. She cracked it open, expecting to have to decode some stiff academic table of contents or dig through an index at the back before she'd find anything even remotely related to Daniel. She never got beyond the title page. Pasted inside the front cover of the book was a sepia-toned photograph. It was a very old carte de visite-style picture, printed on yellowing albumen paper. Someone had scrawled in ink at the bottom, "Helston, 1854. Heat flashed across her skin. She yanked her black sweater over her head, but still felt hot in her tank top. The memory of Daniel's voice sounded hollow in her mind. "I get to live forever," he'd said. "You come along every 17 years. You fall in love with me, and I with you. And it kills you." Her head throbbed. "You're my love, Lucinda. For me, you're all there is." She fingered the outline of the picture glued inside the book. Luce's dad, the aspiring photography guru, would have marveled over how well-preserved the image was, how valuable it must be. Luce, on the other hand, was hung up on the people in the image. Because, unless every word out of Daniel's mouth had been true, it made no sense at all. A young man with light-cropped hair and lighter eyes posed elegantly in a trim black coat. His raised chin and well-defined cheekbones made his fine attire look even more distinguished, but it was his lips that gave Luce such a start. The exact shape of his smile, combined with the look in those eyes, it added up to an expression that Luce had seen in every one of her dreams these last few weeks, and, over the last couple of days, in person. This man was the spitting image of Daniel. The Daniel who had just told her that he loved her and that she had been reincarnated dozens of times. The Daniel who had said so many other things Luce didn't want to hear that she had run away. The Daniel whom she'd abandoned under the peach trees in the cemetery. It could have been just a remarkable likeness. Some distant relative, the author of the book, maybe, who'd funneled each one of his genes straight down the family tree right to Daniel. Except that the young man in the picture was posed next to a young woman who also looked alarmingly familiar. Luce held the book inches from her face and pored over the woman's image. She wore a ruffled black silk ball gown that hugged her body to her waist before billowing out in wide black tiers. Black lace-up wristlets encased her hands, leaving her white fingers bare. Her small teeth showed between her lips, which were parted in an easy smile. She had clear skin a few tones lighter than the man's. Deep-set eyes bordered by thick eyelashes. A black flood of hair that fell in thick waves to her waist. It took a moment for Luce to remember how to breathe, and even then she still couldn't tear her strained eyes away from the book. The woman in the photograph? It was her. Either Luce had been right, and her memory of Daniel had come from a forgotten trip to a Savannah mall, where they'd posed for cheesy dress-up shots at ye old photo booth that she also couldn't remember, or Daniel had been telling the truth. Luce and Daniel did know one another, from an altogether different time. She could not catch her breath. Her whole life tossed in the roiling sea of her mind, everything came into question, the itchy dark shadows that haunted her, the gruesome death of Trevor, the dreams. She had to find Penn. If anyone could come up with an explanation for such an impossible occurrence, it would be Penn. With the inscrutable old book tucked under her arm, Luce left her room and raced toward the library. The library was warm and empty, but something about the high ceilings and endless rows of books made Luce nervous. She walked quickly past the new call desk, which still looked sterile and unlived in. She passed the formidable unused card catalog and the endless reference section until she had reached the long tables in the group study section. Instead of Penn, Luce found Arian playing a game of chess with Roland. She had her feet up on the table and was wearing a striped conductor's cap. Her hair was tucked under the hat, and Luce noticed again, for the first time since the morning she'd cut Arian's hair, the glossy, marbled scar along her neck. Arian was fixated on the game. A chocolate cigar bobbed between her lips as she contemplated her next move. Roland had twisted his dreads into two meaty knots on the crown of his head. He was giving Arian the hawk eye, tapping one of his pawns with his pinky. "Checkmate, bitch," Arian said triumphantly, knocking over Roland's king, just as Luce thudded to a stop in front of their table. "Lulu Lucinda," she sang, looking up. "You've been hiding from me."
"No."
"I've been hearing things about you," Arian said, causing Roland to tilt his head attentively. "Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. That means sit down and spill. Right now." Luce hugged the book to her chest. She didn't want to sit down. She wanted to scour the library for Penn. She couldn't make small talk with Arian, especially not in front of Roland, who was clearing his things off the seat next to him.
"Join us," Roland said.
Luce lowered herself reluctantly onto the edge of the seat. She'd just stay a few minutes. It was true that she hadn't seen Arian in a few days, and under normal circumstances, she would really have missed the girl's bizarre ways. But these were far from normal circumstances, and Luce could think of nothing other than that photograph. "Since I just wiped the chessboard with Roland's ass, let's play a new game. How about who saw an incriminating photo of Luce the other day?" Arian said, crossing her arms on the table.
"What?"
Luce jumped back. She pressed her hand down firmly on the cover of the book, feeling certain that her tense expression was giving everything away. She should never have brought it here.
"I'll give you three guesses," Arian said, rolling her eyes. "Molly snapped a picture of you ducking into a big black car yesterday after class."
"Oh," Luce sighed.
"She was going to turn you into Randy," Arian continued. until I gave her what for.
Mm-hmm,
she snapped her fingers. Now, to show your gratitude, tell me, are they sneaking you away to see an off-campus shrink?
She lowered her voice to a whisper and tapped her fingernails on the table.
Or have you taken a lover?
Luce glanced at Roland, who was giving her a fixed stare.
Neither, she said. I just left for a little while to have a talk with Cam. It didn't go exactly.
Bam! Pay up, Ari, Roland said, grinning. You owe me 10 bucks.
Luce's jaw dropped.
Arian patted her hand.
No big deal. We just made a little wager to keep things interesting. I assumed it was Daniel you'd gone off with. Roland here picked Cam. You're breaking my bank, Luce. I don't like it.
I was with Daniel, Luce said, not really knowing why she felt the need to correct them. Didn't they have anything better to do with their lives than sit around wondering what she did on her own time?
Oh, Roland said, sounding disappointed.
The plot thickens.
Roland, Luce turned to him, I need to ask you something.
Talk to me.
He pulled a notepad and a pen out of his black-and-white pinstriped blazer. He held the pen poised over the paper like a waiter taking an order.
What do you want? Coffee? Booze? I only get the hard stuff on Fridays. Dirty magazines?
Cigars? Arian offered, lisping through the chocolate one in her mouth.
No, Luce shook her head. None of that.
Okay, special order. I left the catalog up in the room,
Roland shrugged.
You can come by later.
I don't need you to get me anything. I just want to know.
She swallowed dryly.
You're friends with Daniel, right?
He shrugged.
I don't hate the guy.
But do you trust him? She asked. I mean, if he told you something that sounded crazy, how likely would you be to believe him?
Roland squinted at her, seeming momentarily stumped, but Arian quickly hopped up on the table and swung her legs over to Luce's side.
What exactly are we talking about?
Luce stood up. Never mind. She should never have raised the subject. The whole mess of details came rushing back to her. She grabbed the book from the table.
I've got to go, she said. I'm sorry.
She pushed her chair in and walked away. Her legs felt heavy and dull, her mind overloaded. A breath of wind lifted the hair at the back of her neck, and her head darted around in search of shadows. Nothing. Just an open window high up near the library rafters. Just a tiny bird's nest tucked into the window's narrow open corner. Scanning the library again, Luce found it hard to believe her eyes. There really was no sign of them, no inky black tendrils or shuddering gray weather system roiling overhead. But Luce could feel their distinct closeness, could almost smell their salty sulfur in the air. Where were they, if not haunting her? She'd always thought of them as hers alone. She'd never considered that the shadows might go other places, do other things, torment other people. Did Daniel see them too? Rounding the corner toward the computer stations at the back of the library, where she thought she might find Penn, Luce ran smack into Miss Sophia. Both of them stumbled, and Miss Sophia caught Luce to steady herself. She was dressed in fashionable jeans and a long white blouse, with a beaded red cardigan tied around her shoulders. Her metallic green glasses hung from a multicolored bead chain around her neck. Luce was surprised at how firm her grip was.
"Excuse me," Luce mumbled.
"Why, Lucinda, what's the matter?"
Miss Sophia pressed a palm to Luce's forehead. The baby powder smell of her hands filled Luce's nose.
"You don't look well."
Luce swallowed, willing herself not to burst into tears just because the nice librarian was taking pity on her.
"I'm not well."
"I knew it," Miss Sophia said. "You missed class today, and you weren't at the social last night. Do you need to see a doctor? If my first aid kit hadn't been burned up in the fire, I'd take your temperature right here."
"No. Well, I don't know."
Luce held the book out in front of her and contemplated telling Miss Sophia everything, starting from the beginning, which was when. Only she didn't have to. Miss Sophia took one glance at the book, sighed, and gave Luce a knowing look.
You finally found it, didn't you? Come, let's have a talk.
Even the librarian knew more than Luce did about her life. Lives? She couldn't figure out what any of it meant or how any of it was possible. She followed Miss Sophia to a table at the back corner of the study section. She could still see Arion and Roland from the corner of her eye, but they seemed at least to be out of earshot.
How did you come across this?
Miss Sophia patted Luce's hand and slipped her glasses on. Her small black pearl eyes twinkled behind the bifocals frames.
Don't worry. You're not in trouble, dear.
I don't know. Pen and I had been looking for it. It was stupid. We thought maybe the author was related to Daniel, but we didn't know for sure. Whenever we went to look for it, it seemed like it had just been checked out. Then, when I came home tonight, Pen had left it in my room.
So Pennyweather knows about its contents as well?
I don't know, Luce said, shaking her head. She could feel herself rambling, and yet she couldn't make herself shut up. Miss Sophia was like the cool, zany grandmother Luce had never had. Her own grandmother's idea of a big shopping trip was going to the grocery store. Besides, it felt so good just to talk to someone. I haven't been able to find her yet, only because I was with Daniel, and usually he acts so weird, but last night he kissed me and we stayed out until...
Excuse me, dear, Miss Sophia said, a little too loudly. But did you just say Daniel Grigori kissed you?
Luce covered her mouth with both hands. She could not believe she'd just spilled that to Miss Sophia. She must really be losing it.
I'm sorry, that's completely irrelevant. And embarrassing. I don't know why that slipped out.
She fanned her burning cheeks. Already it was too late. Across the study section, Arion boomed at Luce.
Thanks for telling me.
Her face looked stunned. But Miss Sophia snapped Luce's attention back when she shook the book from Luce's hands.
A kiss between you and Daniel is not only irrelevant, dear, it's usually impossible.
She stroked her chin and looked up at the ceiling.
Which means... Well, it couldn't mean...
Miss Sophia's fingers started flying through the book, tracing down each page at a miraculously rapid pace.
What do you mean, usually?
Luce had never felt so left out of her own life.
Forget the kiss.
Miss Sophia waved her hand at Luce, taking her aback.
That's not half of it. The kiss doesn't mean anything unless...
She muttered under her breath and went back to flipping through the pages. What did Miss Sophia know? Daniel's kiss meant everything. Luce watched Miss Sophia's flying fingers dubiously until something on one of the pages caught her eye.
Go back, Luce said, laying her hand over Miss Sophia's to stop her.
Miss Sophia leaned slowly away as Luce turned back the thin, translucent pages.
There.
She pressed a hand to her heart. In the margin was a series of drawings sketched in blackest ink. Quickly done, but in an elegant, fine hand. By someone with a certain talent. Luce ran her fingers over the drawings, taking them in. The slope of a woman's shoulder, seen from the back, her hair knotted into a low bun. Soft, bare knees crossed over each other, leading up to a shadowy waist. A long, thin wrist, giving way to an open palm in which a large, full peony rested. Luce's fingers started to tremble. A lump rose in her throat. She didn't know why this, out of everything she'd seen and heard today, was beautiful enough, tragic enough, to finally bring her to tears. The shoulder, the knees, the wrist, all were her own. And she knew all of them had been drawn by Daniel's hand.
Lucinda!
Miss Sophia looked nervous, slowly inching her chair away from the table.
Are you feeling quite all right?
Oh, Daniel, Luce whispered, desperate to be near him again. She wiped away a tear.
He's damned, Lucinda, Miss Sophia said in a surprisingly cold voice. You both are.
Damned. Daniel had spoken of being damned. That was his word for all of this. But he'd been referring to himself, not her.
Damned, Luce repeated. Only she didn't want to hear any more. All she wanted was to find him.
Miss Sophia snapped her fingers in front of Luce's face. Luce met her eyes, slowly, languidly, smiling dopily.
You're still not awake, Miss Sophia murmured.
She closed the book with a smack, catching Luce's attention, and laid her hands down on the table.
Has he told you anything? After the kiss, maybe?
He told me, Luce started. It sounds crazy.
These things often do.
He said the two of us were some kind of star-crossed lovers. Luce closed her eyes, remembering his long catalogue of past lives. At first, the idea had felt so foreign, but now that she was getting used to it, she thought it might just be the most romantic thing that had ever happened in the history of the world. He talked about all the times we've fallen in love, in Rio and Jerusalem, Tahiti.
That does sound rather crazy, Miss Sophia said. So, of course, you don't believe him.
I didn't at first, Luce said, thinking back to their heated disagreement under the peach tree. He started out by bringing up the Bible, which my instinct is to tune out. She bit her tongue.
No offense. I mean, I think your class is really interesting.
None taken. People often shy away from their religious upbringings around your age. You're nothing new, Lucinda.
Oh, Luce cracked her knuckles. But I didn't have a religious upbringing. My parents didn't believe in it, so...
Everyone believes in something. Surely you were baptized.
Not if you don't count the swimming pool built under the church pews over there, Luce said timidly, jerking her thumb toward Sword and Cross's gym.
Yeah, she celebrated Christmas. She'd been to church a handful of times, and even when her life made her and everyone around her miserable, she still had faith that there was someone or something up there worth believing in. That had always been enough for her.
Across the room, she heard a loud clatter. She looked up to see that Roland had fallen out of his chair. The last time she'd glanced at him, he'd been leaning back on two legs, and now it looked like gravity had finally won. As he stumbled to his feet, Arian went to help him. She glanced over and offered a hurried wave.
"He's okay," she called cheerily.
"Get up," she whispered loudly to Roland.
Miss Sophia was sitting very still, with her hands in her lap under the table. She cleared her throat a few times, flipped back to the front cover of the book, and ran her fingers over the photograph, then said,
"Did he reveal anything more? Do you know who Daniel is?"
Slowly, sitting up very straight in her chair, Luce asked, "Do you?" The librarian stiffened.
"I study these things. I'm an academic. I don't get tangled up in trivial matters of the heart."
Those were the words she used, but everything from the pulsing vein along her neck to the almost unnoticeably light sheen of sweat dotting her brow told Luce that the answer to her question was yes. Over their heads, the giant black antique clock struck 11. The minute hand trembled with the effort of snapping into its place, and the whole contraption gonged for so long it interrupted their conversation. Luce had never noticed how loud the clock was. Now each chime made her ache. She'd been away from Daniel for too long.
"Daniel thought," Luce started to say, "last night, when we first kissed, he thought I was going to die."
Miss Sophia didn't look as surprised as Luce would have liked her to look. Luce cracked her knuckles.
"But that's crazy, isn't it? I'm not going anywhere."
Miss Sophia took off her bifocals and rubbed her tiny eyes.
"For now?"
"Oh, God,"
Luce whispered, feeling the same wash of fear that had made her leave Daniel in the cemetery. But why? There was something he still wasn't telling her, something she knew had the power to make her either much more or much less afraid. Something she knew already on her own, but couldn't believe. Not until she saw his face again. The book was still open to the photograph. Upside down, Daniel's smile looked worried, like he knew, as he said he always did, what was coming around the next corner. She couldn't imagine what he must be going through right now. To have opened up about the uncanny history they shared, only to have her dismiss him so completely. She had to find him. She shut the book and tucked it back under her elbow. Then she stood up and pushed in her chair. "Where are you going?" Miss Sophia asked nervously. "To find Daniel. I'll go with you." "No." Luce shook her head, imagining showing up to throw her arms around Daniel with the school librarian in tow. "You don't have to come, really." Miss Sophia was all business when she bent down to double-knot the laces of her sensible shoes. She stood up and laid a hand on Luce's shoulder. "Trust me," she said. "I do. Sword and Cross has a reputation to uphold. You don't think we just let students run around willy-nilly in the night, do you?" Luce resisted filling Miss Sophia in on her recent escapade outside the school gates. She groaned inwardly. Why not bring along the whole student body so everyone could enjoy the drama? Molly could take pictures. Cam could pick another fight. Why not start right here and pick up Arian and Roland, who, she realized with a start, had already disappeared? Miss Sophia, book in hand, had already taken off for the front entrance. Luce had to jog to catch up to her, speeding past the card catalog, the singed Persian carpet at the front desk, and the glass case full of Civil War relics in the East Wing special collections, where she'd seen Daniel sketching the cemetery the very first night she was here. They stepped outside into the humid night. A cloud passed over the moon, and the campus fell into inky blackness. Then, as if a compass had been placed in her hand, Luce felt guided toward the shadows. She knew exactly where they were. Not at the library, but not far away, either. She couldn't see them yet, but she could feel them, which was so much worse. An awful, consuming itch coated her skin, seeping into her bones and blood like acid. Pooling, clotting, making the cemetery, and beyond, reek with their sulfur stink. They were so much bigger now. It seemed like all the air on campus was foul with their wretched stench of decay. "Where is Daniel?" Miss Sophia asked. Luce realized that though the librarian might know quite a bit about the past, she seemed oblivious to the shadows. It made Luce feel terrified and alone, responsible for whatever was about to happen. "I don't know," she said, feeling as if she couldn't get enough oxygen in the thick, swampy night air. She didn't want to say the words she knew would bring them closer, far too close, to everything that was making her so afraid. But she had to go to Daniel. "I left him in the cemetery." They hurried across campus, dodging patches of mud left over from the downpour the other day. Only a few lights were on in the dormitory to their right. Through one of the barred windows, Luce saw a girl she barely knew poring over a book. They were in the same morning block of classes. She was a tough-looking girl with a pierced septum and the tiniest sneeze, but Luce had never heard her speak. She had no idea if she was miserable or if she enjoyed her life. Luce wondered at that moment, if she could trade places with this girl, who never had to worry about past lives or apocalyptic shadows or the deaths of two innocent boys on her hands, would she do it? Daniel's face, the way it had been bathed in violet light when he'd carried her home this morning, appeared before her eyes. His gleaming golden hair, his tender, knowing eyes. The way one touch of his lips transported her far away from any darkness. For him, she'd suffer all of this, and more. If only she knew how much more there was. She and Miss Sophia jogged forward, past the creaking bleachers framing the commons, then past the soccer field. Miss Sophia really kept in shape. Luce would have worried about their pace if the woman hadn't been a few steps ahead of her. Luce was dragging. Her fear of facing the shadows was like a hurricane-force headwind slowing her down. And yet she pressed on. An overwhelming nausea told her that she'd barely glimpsed what the dark things could accomplish. At the cemetery gates, they stopped. Luce was trembling, hugging herself in a failed attempt to hide it. A girl was standing with her back to them, gazing into the graveyard below. "Pen!" Luce called, so glad to see her friend. When Pen turned to them, her face was ashen. She wore a black windbreaker despite the heat, and her glasses were fogging up from the humidity. She was trembling just as much as Luce was. Luce gasped. "What happened?" "I was coming to look for you," Pen said. "And then a bunch of the other kids ran this way. They went down there." She pointed toward the gates. "But I couldn't." "What is it?" Luce asked. "What's down there?" But even as she asked, she knew one thing that was down there, one thing that Pen would never be able to see. The curdling black shadow was coaxing Luce toward it, Luce alone. Pen was blinking rapidly. She looked terrified. "Dunno," she said finally. "At first I thought fireworks, but nothing ever made it to the sky." She shuddered. "Something bad's about to happen. I don't know what." Luce breathed in and coughed on a deep whiff of sulfur. "How, Pen? How do you know?" Pen's arm shook as she pointed into the deep bowl in the middle of the cemetery. "See that?" she said. "Something's flickering down there." 18. The Buried War. Luce took one look at the shuddering light at the base of the cemetery and started racing toward it. She hurtled down past the broken headstones, leaving Pen and Miss Sophia far behind. She didn't care that the sharp, twisting limbs of the live oak tree scratched her arms and face as she ran, or that clumps of thick-rooted weeds tripped up her feet. She had to get down there. The waning sliver of moon offered little light, but there was another source, coming from the bottom of the cemetery. Her destination. It looked like a monstrous, cloud-ridden lightning storm, only it was happening on the ground. The shadows had been warning her, she realized, for days. Now their dark show had turned into something even Pen could see. And the other students who'd run ahead must have noticed it, too. Luce didn't know what it could possibly mean. Only that if Daniel was down there with that sinister flickering, it was all her fault. Her lungs burned, but she was driven forward by the image of him standing under the peach trees. She wouldn't stop until she found him, because she'd been coming to find him anyway, to shove the book under his nose and cry out that she believed him, that part of her had believed him all along, but she'd been too scared to accept their unfathomable history. She would tell him that she wasn't going to let fear drive her away, not this time, not anymore. Because she knew something, understood something that had taken her far too long to piece together. Something wild and strange that made their past experiences together both more and less believable. She knew who, no, what Daniel was. Part of her had come to this realization on her own that she might have lived before and loved him before. Only she hadn't understood what it meant, what it all added up to, the pull she felt toward him, her dreams, until now. But none of that mattered if she couldn't get down there in time to find some way to fend off the shadows. None of it mattered if they got to Daniel before she could. She tore down the steep tiers of graves, but the basin at the center of the cemetery was still so far away. Behind her, a thumping of footsteps, then a shrill voice. "Pennyweather!" It was Miss Sophia. She was gaining on Luce, calling back over her shoulder, where Luce could see Pen carefully working her way over a fallen tombstone. "You're slower than Christmas coming." "No," Luce yelled. "Pen, Miss Sophia, don't come down here." She wouldn't be responsible for putting anyone else in the shadow's path. Miss Sophia froze on a toppled white tombstone and stared up at the sky like she hadn't heard Luce at all. She raised her thin arms up in the air, as if to shield herself. Luce squinted into the night and sucked in her breath. Something was moving toward them, blowing in with a chill wind. At first, she thought it was the shadows, but this was something different and scarier, like a jagged, irregular veil full of dark pockets, letting flecks of sky filter through. This shadow was made of a million tiny black pieces, a rioting, fluttering storm of darkness stretching out in all directions.
"Locusts?" Pen cried.
Luce shuddered. The thick swarm was still at a distance, but its deep percussion grew louder with every passing second, like the beating of a thousand birds' wings, like a hostile sweeping darkness scouring the earth. It was coming. It was going to lash out at her, maybe at all of them, tonight.
"This is not good," Miss Sophia ranted at the sky. "There's supposed to be an order to things."
Pen came to a panting stop next to Luce, and the two of them exchanged a bewildered look. Sweat beaded Pen's upper lip, and her purple glasses kept slipping down in the moist heat.
"She's losing it," Pen whispered, jerking her thumb at Miss Sophia.
"No," Luce shook her head. "She knows things, and if Miss Sophia's scared, you shouldn't be here, Pen."
"Me?" Pen asked, bewildered, probably because ever since the first day of school, she had been the one guiding Luce. "I don't think either of us should be here."
Luce's chest stung with a pain similar to what she'd felt when she had to say goodbye to Callie. She looked away from Pen. There was a split between them now, a deep division cutting them apart because of Luce's past. She hated to own up to it, to call Pen's attention to it, too, but she knew it would be better, safer, if they parted ways.
"I have to stay," she said, taking a deep breath. "I have to find Daniel. You should go back to the dorm, Pen, please."
"But you and me," Pen said hoarsely. "We were the only ones."
Before Luce could hear the end of the sentence, she took off toward the cemetery center, toward the mausoleum where she'd seen Daniel brooding on the evening of Parents' Day. She bounded over the last of the tombstones, then skidded down a slope of dank, rotting mulch until the ground finally evened out. She came to a stop in front of the giant oak in the basin at the cemetery center. Hot and frustrated and terrified all at once, she leaned against the tree trunk. Then, through the branches of the tree, she saw him. Daniel. She let out all the air in her lungs and felt weak in the knees. One look at his distant, dark profile, so beautiful and majestic, told her that everything Daniel had hinted at, even the one big thing she'd figured out on her own, everything was true. He was standing atop the mausoleum, arms crossed, looking up where the roiling cloud of locusts had just passed overhead. The thin moonlight threw his shadow in a crescent of darkness that dipped off the crypt's wide, flat roof. She ran toward him, weaving through the dangling Spanish moss and the tilted old statues.
"Luce!"
He spied her as she neared the base of the mausoleum.
"What are you doing here?"
His voice showed no happiness to see her, more like shock and horror. "It's my fault," she wanted to cry as she approached the base of the mausoleum. "And I believe it. I believe our story. Forgive me for ever leaving you. I never will again." There was one more thing she wanted to tell him, but he was far above her, and the shadow's horrible din was too loud, and the air was too soupy to try to make him hear her from where she stood below him. The tomb was solid marble, but there was a big chip in one of the bas-relief sculptures of a peacock, and Luce used it as a toehold. The usually cool stone was warm to the touch. Her sweaty palms slipped a few times as she strained to reach the top, to reach Daniel, who had to forgive her. She'd only scaled a few feet of the wall when someone tapped her shoulder. She spun around and gasped when she saw that it was Daniel and lost her grip. He caught her, his arms circling her waist, before she could slide to the ground. But he'd just been a full story overhead a second earlier. She buried her face in his shoulder. And while the truth still scared her, being in his arms made her feel like the sea finding its shore, like a traveler returning after a long, hard, distant trip, finally returning home.
You picked a fine time to come back, he said.
He smiled, but his smile was weighed down with worry. His eyes kept looking beyond her, into the sky.
You see it, too, she asked.
Daniel just looked at her, unable to respond. His lip quivered.
Of course you do, she whispered, because everything was coming together. The shadows, his story, their past.
A choking cry welled up inside her.
How can you love me? She sobbed. How can you even stand me?
He took her face in his hand.
What are you talking about? How can you say that?
Her heart burned from racing so fast.
Because, she swallowed, you're an angel.
His arms went slack.
What did you say?
You're an angel, Daniel. I know it, she said, feeling floodgates open within her, wider and wider, until it all just tumbled out. Don't tell me I'm crazy. I have dreams about you, dreams that are too real to forget, dreams that made me love you before you ever said one nice thing to me.
Daniel's eyes didn't change at all.
Dreams where you have wings and you hold me high up in a sky I don't recognize, and yet I know I've been there, just like that, in your arms 1,000 times before.
She touched her forehead to his.
It explains so much, how graceful you are when you move, and the book your ancestor wrote. Why no one came to visit you on Parents' Day, the way your body seems to float when you swim, and why, when you kiss me, I feel like I've gone to heaven.
She stopped to catch her breath.
And why you can live forever. The only thing it doesn't explain is what on earth you're doing with me, because I'm just me.
She looked up at the sky again, feeling the black spell of the shadows.
And I'm guilty of so much.
The color was gone from his face, and Luce could draw only one conclusion.
You don't understand why, either, she said.
I don't understand what you're still doing here.
She blinked and nodded miserably, then began to turn away.
No,
he pulled her back.
Don't leave. It's just that you've never... we've never... gotten this far.
He closed his eyes.
Will you say it again?
He asked, almost shyly.
Will you tell me what I am?
You're an angel, she repeated slowly,
surprised to see Daniel close his eyes and moan in pleasure, almost as if they were kissing.
I'm in love with an angel.
Now she was the one who wanted to close her eyes and moan. She tilted her head.
But in my dreams, your wings...
A hot, howling wind swept sideways over them, practically swatting Luce out of Daniel's arms. He shielded her body with his. The cloud of shadow locusts had settled in the canopy of a tree beyond the cemetery and had been making sizzling noises in the branches. Now they rose up in one great mass.
Oh, God, Luce whispered. I have to do something. I have to stop it.
Luce,
Daniel stroked her cheek.
Look at me. You have done nothing wrong, and there's nothing you can do about...
He pointed.
That.
He shook his head.
Why would you ever think you were guilty?
Because, she said, my whole life I've been seeing these shadows.
I should have done something when I realized that, last week at the lake. It's the first lifetime when you've seen them, and it scared me.
How can you know it's not my fault? She asked, thinking of Todd and of Trevor.
The shadows always came to her just before something awful happened. He kissed her hair.
The shadows you see are called announcers. They look bad, but they can't hurt you. All they do is scope out a situation and report back to someone else. Gossips. The demonic version of a clique of high school girls.
But what about those?
She pointed at the trees that lined the perimeter of the cemetery. Their branches were waving, weighed down by the thick, oozing blackness. Daniel looked out with a calm stare.
Those are the shadows the announcers have summoned to battle.
Luce's arms and legs went cold with fear.
What kind of battle is that?
The big one, he said simply, raising his chin. but they're just showing off right now. We still have time.
Behind them, a tiny cough made Luce jump. Daniel bowed in greeting to Miss Sophia, who was standing in the shadow of the mausoleum. Her hair had come loose from its pins and looked wild and unruly, like her eyes. Then someone else stepped forward from behind Miss Sophia. Pen. Her hands were stuffed into the pockets of her jacket. Her face was still red, and her hairline was damp with sweat. She shrugged at Luce, as if to say, "I don't know what the heck is going on, but I couldn't just abandon you." Despite herself, Luce smiled. Miss Sophia stepped forward and raised the book. "Our Lucinda has been doing her research." Daniel rubbed his jaw.
"You've been reading that old thing? Never should have written it."
He sounded almost bashful, but Luce slid one more piece of their puzzle into place. "You wrote that," she said, "and sketched in the margins, and pasted in that photograph of us."
"You found the photograph?" Daniel said, smiling, holding her closer as if the mention of the picture brought back a rush of memories.
"Of course."
"It took me a while to understand, but when I saw how happy we were, something opened up inside me, and I knew." She wrapped a hand around his neck and pulled his face to hers, not even caring that Miss Sophia and Penn were right there. When Daniel's lips touched hers, the whole dark, horrid cemetery disappeared, the worn graves, too, and the pockets of shadows rooting around in the trees, even the moon and the stars above. The first time she'd seen the Helston picture, it had scared her. The idea of all those past versions of herself existing, it was just too much to take in. But now, in Daniel's arms, she could feel all of them somehow working together, a vast consortium of Luces who'd loved the same Daniel over and over and over again. So much love. It spilled out of her heart and her soul, pouring off her body and filling the space between them. And she at last heard what he had said when they were looking at the shadows, that she had done nothing wrong, that there was no reason to feel guilty. Could it be true? Was she innocent of Trevor's death, of Todd's, as she'd always believed? The moment she asked herself, she knew that Daniel had told her the truth. And she felt like she was waking from a long, bad dream. She no longer felt like the girl with the shorn hair and the baggy black clothes, no longer the eternal screw-up, afraid of the putrid cemetery and stuck in reform school for good reason. "Daniel," she said, gently pushing his shoulders back so she could look at him, "why didn't you tell me sooner that you were an angel? Why all that talk about being damned?"
Daniel eyed her nervously.
"I'm not mad," she reassured him, "only wondering."
"I couldn't tell you," he said. "It's all wrapped up together. Until now, I didn't even know that you could discover it on your own. If I told you too quickly or at the wrong time, you'd be gone again, and I would have to wait. I've already had to wait so long."
"How long?" Luce asked.
"Not so long that I've forgotten that you're worth everything. Every sacrifice, every pain."
Daniel closed his eyes for a moment. Then he looked over at Penn and Miss Sophia. Penn was seated with her back against a mossy black tombstone. Her knees were curled up to her chin, and she was chewing avidly on her fingernails. Miss Sophia had her hands on her hips. She looked like she had something to say. Daniel stepped back, and Luce felt a rush of cool air waft between them.
"I'm still afraid that any minute you could..."
"Daniel?" Miss Sophia called reprovingly. He waved her off.
"Our being together, it's not as simple as you're going to want it to be."
"Of course not," Luce said. "I mean, you're an angel, but now that I know it..."
"Lucinda Price!"
This time it was Luce who was the object of Miss Sophia's anger.
"What he has to tell you, you do not want to know," she warned. "And Daniel, you have no right. It will kill her."
Luce shook her head, confused by Miss Sophia's request. "I think I could survive a little truth."
"It is not a little truth," Miss Sophia said, stepping forward to position herself between them. "And you will not survive it, as you have not survived it in the thousands of years since the fall."
Daniel, what is she talking about?
Luce reached around Miss Sophia for his wrist, but the librarian fended her off.
I can handle it, Luce said, feeling a dry pit of nerves in her stomach. I don't want any more secrets. I love him.
It was the first time she had ever said the words aloud to anyone. Her only regret was that she'd directed the most important three words she knew at Miss Sophia instead of at Daniel. She turned to him. His eyes were shining.
I do, she said. I love you.
Clap, 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 clap. Slow, loud applause sounded from behind them in the trees. Daniel broke away and turned toward the woods, his posture stiffening, as Luce felt the old fear flood in, felt herself rooted by terror about what he was seeing in the shadows, frightened of what he saw before she did.
Oh, bravo, bravo. Really, I am touched to my very soul, and not much touches me there these days, sad to say.
Cam stepped into the clearing. His eyes were rimmed with a thick, shimmering gold shadow, and it shone on his face in the moonlight, making him look like a wildcat.
That is so incredibly sweet, he said. And he just loves you, too. Don't you, lover boy? Don't you, Daniel?
Cam, Daniel warned, do not do this.
Do what? Cam asked, raising his left arm in the air.
He snapped his fingers once, and a small flame, the size of a lit match, ignited in the air over his hand.
You mean that?
The echo of his finger snap seemed to linger, to reflect off the tombs in the cemetery, to grow louder and multiply as it bounced back and forth. At first, Luce thought the sound was more applause, as if a demonic auditorium full of darkness were clapping derisively at Luce and Daniel's love, the way Cam had done. But then she remembered the thundering wingbeats she'd heard earlier. She held her breath as the sound took the form of those thousand bits of flitting darkness. The swarm of locust-shaped shadows that had vanished into the forest reared up overhead once again. Their drumming was so loud, Luce had to cover her ears. On the ground, Pen was crouched with her head between her knees. But Daniel and Miss Sophia stoically watched the sky as the cacophony grew and changed. It began to sound more like very loud sprinklers going off, or like the hiss of a thousand snakes.
Or this? Cam asked, shrugging as the hideous, formless darkness settled around him.
The insects each began to grow and unfold, becoming larger than any insect could ever be, dripping like glue and growing into black, segmented bodies. Then, as if they were learning how to use their shadow limbs as they formed, they slowly hoisted themselves onto their numerous legs and came forward, like mantises grown to human height. Cam welcomed them as they swarmed around him. Soon they had formed a massive army of embodied night behind Cam.
"I'm sorry," he said, smacking his forehead with his palm. "Did you tell me not to do that?"
"Daniel," Luce whispered, "what's happening?"
"Why did you call an end to the truce?" he called to Cam.
"Oh, well, you know what they say about desperate times," Cam sneered.
"And watching you plaster her body with those perfectly angelic hisses of yours, it made me feel so desperate."
"Shut up, Cam," Luce shouted, hating that she'd ever let him touch her.
"In good time."
Cam's eyes rolled over to her.
"Oh, yes, we're going to brawl, baby. Over you. Again."
He stroked his chin and narrowed his green eyes.
"Bigger this time, I think. A few more casualties. Deal with it."
Daniel gathered Luce in his arms.
"Tell me why, Cam. You owe me that much."
"You know why," Cam boomed, pointing at Luce.
"She's still here. Won't be for long, though."
He put his hands on his hips, and a series of dense black shadows, now shaped like endless fat serpents, slithered up along his body, encircling his arms like bracelets. He petted the largest one's head, dotingly.
"And this time, when your love blows into that tragic little puff of ash, it's going to be for good. See, everything's different this time."
Cam beamed, and Luce thought she felt Daniel quake for just a second.
Oh, except one thing is the same, and I do have a soft spot for your predictability, Grigori.
Cam took a step forward. His shadow legions inched up accordingly, making Luce and Daniel and Penn and Miss Sophia inch back.
You're afraid, he said, pointing dramatically at Daniel. And I'm not.
That's because you have nothing to lose, Daniel spat. I would never trade places with you.
Cam said, tapping his chin. We'll see about that.
He looked around, grinning.
Must I spell it out for you?
Yes. I hear you may have something bigger to lose this time. Something that's going to make annihilating her so much more enjoyable.
What are you talking about? Daniel asked.
To Luce's left, Miss Sophia opened her mouth and let out a howling string of feral noises. She waved her hands wildly over her head in a jerking, dance-like motion, her eyes almost transparent, as if she were in some sort of trance. Her lips twitched, and Luce realized, with a shock, that she was speaking in tongues. Daniel took Miss Sophia's arm and shook her.
No, you are absolutely right. It doesn't make sense, he whispered,
and Luce realized he could understand Miss Sophia's strange language.
You know what she's saying? Luce asked.
Allow us to translate, a familiar voice shouted from the roof of the mausoleum.
Arian. Next to her was Gabby. Both seemed to be lit from behind and were enshrouded in a strange silver glow. They hopped down from the crypt, landing next to Luce without a sound.
Cam's right, Daniel, Gabby said quickly. Something's different this time, something about Luce. The cycle could be broken, and not the way we want it to. I mean, it could end.
Someone tell me what you're talking about, Luce said, butting in. What's different? Broken how? What's at stake with this whole battle, anyway?
Daniel, Arian, and Gabby all stared at her for a moment, as if trying to place her, as if they knew her from somewhere, but she changed so completely in an instant that they no longer recognized her face. Finally, Arian spoke up.
At stake? She rubbed at the scar on her neck. If they win, it's hell on Earth. The end of the world as anyone knows it.
The black shape screeched around Cam, wrestling with and chewing on each other in some sort of sick, devilish warm-up.
And if we win?
Luce struggled to get out the words. Gabby swallowed, then said gravely,
We don't know yet.
Suddenly, Daniel stumbled back, away from Luce, and pointed at her.
She hasn't been...
He stammered, covering his mouth.
The kiss, he said finally, stepping forward to grip Luce's arm. The book, that's why you can...
Get to part B, Daniel.